Good morning. You are listening to EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and around the world on the internet.
Around the world on the internet. That voice is so smooth.
What voice?
Yours.
No.
Oh, I'm just going to go out to the tent so I can listen.
We're joined once again by Vern Rayburn. I say once again because we had him in the studio, I think, on Monday.
It's been a momentous week.
It's been a really interesting week so far. We're not done yet, but we're...
You mean you've yet more?
Oh, there's another two or three airplanes. No.
I was going to say,
don't quote me on that.
But wait, there's more.
In case people don't know, the WE is Eclipse Aviation.
Right.
That's right.
The Eclipse 500, which we talked about a lot last year, and the new concept jet, which is out this year.
Right.
How's that going in relation to...
Well, it's been amazing. We really... didn't know quite what to expect when we did this, and that was one of the reasons we did it in the fashion that we did, because this whole new single jet segment, single engine jet segment, is it's so new, and there's nothing really out there today. Obviously, Diamond's working on something, and they've made a lot of progress, and stuff. But
I think the phrase "beat them to the punch" comes to mind, though. You guys are that far ahead.
Not really. I mean, realistically, before we would have this aircraft certified, it's at least another 2.5 or 3 years. And so, you know, and we're not making any qualms about that. We've told people that. And but this was a way for us to put our toe in the water and kind of get an idea about how the market would respond. And I have to say, we've been really staggered by the response to this. Just one little indication, we have a little single page data sheet that we printed up to use for this. And I think we printed 5,000 copies, and in 7 years of being here and exhibiting at AirVenture, we've never given away 5,000 of anything. We were gone; all those were gone within the first day and a half.
Really?
And so we had to get more in here night before last, and I think they're almost gone now. So it seems to have struck a chord, and between the appearance of the airplane, sort of the somebody described it as an airplane, a jet that finally is approachable.
Well, I don't know if you guys started something or if you just happened to be the first out the gate on a lot of something starting up at the same time, but ever since, you know, you hear about the Eclipse last year, there are tons of I guess, upstarts or, you know, other ideas in really high-performance personal aircraft. You get the personal jets. We had someone with the turboprop for personal use and, you know, especially with the airlines being so difficult to deal with these days.
We don't really like the phrase personal jet. And the reason is that we think that what you're seeing here, and let me put this in an historical perspective. If you look at aviation, say, since World War II, certainly starting in the late 40s and in through the 50s, the military segment pretty well turbinized. They went from piston to turbine, including even in the transport sector. The 60s and 70s was when the airlines did it, and in particular into the 80s is when we started seeing the advent of the RJs and the pure turbine. They went through the turboprop phase like the regional, like the trunk, or what we used to call trunk, or what we call legacy carriers now, went through a real short turboprop phase. GA, on the other hand, has been sort of stuck. That's the best way to put it, stuck and using essentially the same old engines we had in World War II. And there's been a turboprop segment, but turboprops are really fuel-efficient forms of propulsion, but they don't give you the absolute performance and the absolute reliability and the smoothness of a turbofan or a turbojet aircraft. And so the way I look at it is we're finally in GA starting to move into turbine, and I think that there could be a very fundamental trend starting to happen here. And we're going to see it even in the home-built area, where, you know, more and more people are going to be building jets, and not just turboprops, but jets.
Wouldn't you say, though, that one of the driving factors is the fact that the turbine engines are finally starting to come down in price?
That's a part of it, but part of it is also we're finally getting turbofan engines, and that's an important distinction. Turbofan engines in the right thrust range.
Gotcha. I mean,
to some extent, you know, the whole jet industry, the whole jet engine industry has been about building bigger. And you get things like, you know, the GE90 and the next gen and the Pratt and the Rolls and the Trent. And, you know, these are stupendous examples of engineering. You get jet engines now that produce almost rocket motor type thrusts. But about 10 years ago, you saw particularly Pratt and Whitney start to say, this is interesting. Maybe we can take this technology down instead of up. And so now we have a whole new crop of engines from Pratt and Whitney and Honda, GE, and Williams that are really in the thrust range that this end of the industry needs. And so I wish they were about 25 times cheaper than they are, because they're still the most expensive part of the airplane, but they're phenomenal. They're just amazing engines, and that's really been what's, I think, helped launch this whole new change.
Well, let's talk about the fact that you guys have departed from the known aviation procedures by actually building a concept airplane. That's a sizable investment of time and money on basically a hope.
Well, it turned out not to be that big of an investment, and in part because we were able to do what we had planned to do, or what we had hoped we'd be able to do when we started the company, which is we used a lot of the components from the 500. The concept aircraft, the wing is a stock 500 wing. In fact, it was a wing we took off one airplane for some issues, and we just whacked the tip tanks off and put some new tips on it and said, here's the wing. So it's the same flaps, the same aileron, the same landing gear. The nose section's a stock nose section, same oxygen system, same landing gear. The engine is just one of our spare flight test engines. It's not a certified engine, but it was a spare engine we had in flight test. But really, most fundamentally, we've talked for a long time about Avio, which is our name for the entire integration of the aircraft. It's not just the displays that the pilot sees and interacts with. It's everything in the airplane, from the computer systems that control the fuel gauging and the fade X on the engines, to trim systems, to even the reading lights in the cabin. We took a stock Avio system out of an Eclipse 500, the same wiring harness, all the same boxes, plugged it into the concept jet, and in 4 days we wired the airplane, turned it on, and ran all the tests. And so we used a lot of what we had. So what's new really is the aerodynamics, obviously, the cabin, which we did a fast build fiberglass, carbon fiber process. And so we utilized a lot of the fast build techniques that are out there that were really pioneered by the home builders, guys like Burt Rutan in particular. And we're able to build this thing in 200 days with, you know, only a couple $1 million investment. And that's a pretty rapid process to build something that actually flies pretty darn good. And it gives us really good, solid market feedback. So it was a reasonably small investment to make to get the data that we have. Now, if we tried to go out and build this as if it were a production airplane, or make that big lie that, oh, this is fully conforming and it's going to be a production airplane, you know, that would have been a very different story. But we made no attempt at that, and that's why we call it a concept jet. And it is fairly unusual in this industry, because most people tend to build something and say, this is it, this is the production airplane. 7 years later, we know it's not really not.
Yeah, after the 1400 design changes.
Exactly, and that's going to happen in any development, even with the computer tools that we have today. And so we really watched more what was happening in the automotive industry. You know, in the last 5 years, I think we counted there were 107 concept cars introduced at the Detroit Auto Show alone. I think four of them made it to production. So it's a tool that the automotive industry uses to really understand what works, what doesn't work, try out new ideas. There's some really new ideas in the concept jet interior mock-up. You know, we've gone away from the traditional thrust lever, and we have a great big knob. Our view is it's like a rheostat. You know, turn it up to make more noise, go faster. Turn it down, make less noise, go slower. And people love it.
Well, now you have a lot of equipment and packages that you sort of pulled from the Eclipse 500. If mm-hmm. I recall, not earlier this week, but last year, when we were talking about some of the other systems, some of the human staff systems, the integration of people that are with Eclipse, not just in training, but also in flight,
right.
Information going back and forth,
right.
That you've got going on for the Eclipse 500, I imagine those systems are integrated into the concept jet.
Absolutely.
And what are some of those? Are there any changes in any of those that you'll see for this one as opposed to the Eclipse 500, or anything that now that you've gotten it out in the marketplace, it was, you know, changed once it's been out there?
I don't think you'll see big changes in that. In fact, if anything, what's happening is we're just refining that. And so it will apply pretty much across the board. And that's one of the concepts behind the concept jet, is that as a company today with a certified, you know, the first certified VLJ, and we've now shipped more than anybody else in the industry by a huge margin. I mean, we have serial number 38 sitting on the flight line here. We'll be through, I think, 41 by the end of this week. And so, you know, we're really
cracking them out.
we're starting to move into rate production, and there's no question we stumbled. We had a tough time getting that going, but I think we've solved the majority of those problems, and we're moving there. And so this is really an opportunity for us to start to leverage that huge investment that we made, and potentially leverage it into other aircraft, and potentially leverage it into other services for our customers. And so we're listening to what they're telling us now, and we're into a much more of an interactive mode with our customers today than we have been in the past, because in the past we had one job, finish the 500.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's finished now, and so now we're working more with our customers trying to understand where we're going to go next.
So as a concept jet, it's quite possible that this thing could totally metamorphose, so it change slightly different.
Absolutely.
And a 6-place or a 5.5-place or...
5.5-place.
Once again, it depends on what the market tells us. I think there's a lot of precedent for a real, true 4-place airplane. In fact, if you look at history, there's been well over a couple hundred thousand 4-place airplanes shipped in the last 60 years.
I'd like to see a 4-place, but with more baggage capability.
Well, that's what we did in this one. We listened to that because we've been criticized on the 500. So there's baggage in the tail cone that lets you put 3 bags of golf clubs or 4 pairs of skis, plus some bags. And then there's baggage in the cabin where you can put them in where it's pressurized and heated. So your deodorant doesn't leak out.
So I still won't be able to take a shampoo more than 3 ounces right. on the flight, though.
Oh, yes, you will on this one. We don't have the TSA, at least yet.
Yeah. But we can get those 4-place where you can fold down the back seats. And
actually, like, take a nap?
Have a bed compartment.
We've looked at that idea.
Have more cargo. Like he said, you take a lot of stuff from the automotive
industry.
They call
it like cabin class flying as opposed to cattle?
Unfortunately, we wanted to do that in the 500. We'd sort of looked at the minivan model.
Flexible
cabin where you have seats move around.
Third row rollback seating.
Well, the FAA just doesn't have that attitude. And there's some really legitimate reasons behind that, and that's the fact in airplanes, when you take a seat out, when you change it, you change the CG.
Yeah, you change the CG.
And that's considered a maintenance item, and so it has to be in the logbook. So there are some regulatory issues that prevent it from really being as flexible as you could have, and like what the automotive industry has, but even combined with the high G loadings that you have to take on the seats.
Okay, I was going to say, even if you demonstrate that it stays within its CG envelope when you move a seat around or out,
say never. And so there's some cleverness, and the FAA is willing to work with you and try to solve these kinds of problems, but... It's a little bit bigger problem than people think when they first think about it.
People use them as baggage compartments anyway if there are no passengers,
Sure.
Throw your stuff in the back seat.
Right. Well, that's okay. That doesn't mess the CG
up. Of course, they make sure it's properly tied down with 9G netting. Right?
I always do.
Always do the proper weight and balance.
Yeah. If it fits, it'll fly, right?
I know a few airplanes like that.
Yeah.
Well, as manufacturers, we endeavor to try to build an airplane with phenomenally wide CG envelopes so that you can't get it outside the CG envelope, because if you've never flown an airplane out of aft CG, you're lucky, because you won't want to ever do it again if you've done it.
Most guys only do it once.
That's right. It gets kind of ugly pretty fast. And even Ford CG prints in its own unique set of problems. So we do, as manufacturers, try to build an airplane that's kind of, if you will, bulletproof from a standpoint.
Right. I was thinking idiot-proof, but...
I'm trying to be nice this morning. It's my resolution.
It's not Friday yet.
Stupid pilot tricks.
No, there's a quote by Douglas Adams that says, "The problem with trying to make something completely foolproof is to underestimate the ingenuity of complete fools."
That's right.
Yeah.
he was a great guy, really. I loved his books. I met him a couple of times, and he really was an interesting fellow.
I agree. If you're not familiar, have you ever read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course.
So.
So, but the overall response to the concept jet, like I say, has really surprised us, and it's extremely gratifying.
Yeah,
obviously.
I have to admit, it looks awfully sexy sitting out there.
Well, that was actually a design criteria. It was a goal. We believe in the old adage, if it looks good, it flies good, and it go a little bit longer. If it looks sexy, you're going to sell a few.
I've been talking with Vern Rayburn of Eclipse Aviation and the concept jet. And you're listening to EAA, 1210 AM, 100.7 FM.
And around the world on the internet.
At airventure.org. This is Magneto Mel with
Digital Dave.